is the Sports Fever. If it's a sport, we cover it. And here are the hosts, Anthony Colasano, Dom DeRosa, Noah Gugliotta, also known as Googs, and Sean Johnson.
All right. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another edition of the Sports Fever. It's going to be a pretty depressing, sad, and angry episode this week, unfortunately. With me, Anthony Colasano, and with Dom DeRosa, No Gugliotta, or otherwise known as
Googs.
We haven't done that in a while.
We haven't, yeah. And obviously, you heard a different voice in that roll call. Chris Witowski joins us for this very special episode. I guess, in a way, he kind of fills in for Sean Johnson this week. And kind of a perfect time to have him on as unfortunately, Major League Baseball has officially announced that they are going to be delaying the start of the 2022 MLB season. The collective bargaining agreement between the players and the owners was not agreed upon by the deadline on Tuesday, March 1st, 2022 at 5 p.m. So there will be a delay. And as of now, we don't know where negotiations will go after this. It's very sad. It's very depressing, misleading. Media was blowing smoke through the late hours of Monday night, thinking that a deal was on its way to being done, only for us to get just absolutely bamboozled and be like, haha, got you. There's no deal. So I'll give my opinion about this whole situation probably last. Chris, I'll start with you since you're the guest. You're filling in for Sean. You're pretty enamored by this. I know you're a big Yankee fan, and for you to be a kind of a new diehard baseball fan, I should say, this really stinks for you in particular, like you told me over text. So you wanted to give your thoughts. The floor is yours.
News today about baseball is obviously, pretty depressing. Last night, I definitely thought there was possibility of being a deal. There's a lot of perceived momentum from reporters like John Heyman, Bob Nightingale, but at the end of the day, it was just another ruse by the league, I think, to try to put the blame on the players for not signing a deal, and try to put pressure on them to sign a deal that maybe isn't best suited for them, and make it look like it's not on the owners, because obviously perception of the owners right now is pretty bad. Jeff Passan himself even ripped them on Twitter, as well as other analysts like Ken Rosenthal and, guys like the big names that report baseball media, and for me, this is pretty depressing. It's like my third year watching baseball, and I've only seen like really closely following baseball, and I only have seen like one full season in those 3 years. So it's kind of unfortunate as somebody who's kind of new to baseball. I watched it a little bit like in middle school and stuff, but not like I'm watching it now. Mm-hmm. And, it's been pretty depressing. And I don't understand why the MLB waited so long to negotiate. It doesn't really make sense to me why they took 40 plus days to actually get into talks. And also doesn't make sense to me why the owners, right away, as soon as the CBA from last year expired, why they locked the players out right away. Because we could actually be playing baseball right now. I don't know if you guys know that or not, but I've read it in multiple places that the players aren't on strike.
Correct. Yep.
So you guys can chime in here on what you think, but I think we should be playing baseball. I don't really understand why like why the owners chose to lock the players out. I don't understand why they chose to set this hard deadline and try to force the players into negotiating faster and trying to manipulate them. I mean, the MLB did, I'll give them some credit, they did come up in some areas in their proposal today to the Players Association. So like the three main issues, I guess, like to discuss would be the CBT, which is like the tax threshold.
Yeah.
Player arbitration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a big one too. I think was it minor leaguers or was it arbitration years or was it?
It's just like a pool of money for arbitration players.
Yeah.
At the youth level. And then the third issue was minimum salaries. The only issue that the MLB really met with their, like, you know, quote unquote best offer today was the minimum salaries. They offered a $725K with a $20K a year increase, according to Jeff Passan. According the MLB's best offer, that was what the MLBPA wanted. And then the MLB's best offer was $700K with a $10K per year increase. So they're relatively close, like in terms of player minimum. And then the CBT, they were pretty far apart. You know, the league didn't want to change the CBT and the percentages. And then in terms of arbitration, they were really far apart. Players want an $85 million player pool with an annual increase over the 5 years of $5 million. And the league only offered a $30 million pool with no increase annually. So in terms of player arbitration, they're $55 million apart, and they're really far apart on the CBT. The percentages really aren't close.
Yeah, I could. I mean, no, I want to get your thoughts. Like this whole, like, because I think the player arbitration one's kind of a big one because that's kind of the beginning of, in what is baseball's restricted free agency, where players, you know, start to come in and make some serious dollars after their initial, like, kind of rookie contracts are kind of up. So, I mean, I think there should be an annual increase in some capacity. I don't think it should just be a flat cap at $30 million. But what do you think, and just your overall take of how this is kind of shaping up, not only over the last 48 hours, but over the last couple months of like it only, I'll get my take, but it's like they only ramped it up now. Like, why couldn't this have happened like months ago? Because maybe we couldn't have been in this situation.
Yeah, it's honestly, it's pathetic. Because, you know, baseball has had so many issues, guys, right? Like, we've talked about growing the game and growing and getting it to new audiences, especially younger ones. People are, you know, kind of, it's falling away from us right now. And I've heard a lot of people saying, well, once baseball does come back, it's going to be the craziest free agency. And that's right. But the owners stunk up the joint with how they negotiated. And the players had, this is my issue, I think. The players had all the media outlets and all the reporters pretty much behind them. And I just feel like I don't think they really deserve that much credit. Like, both sides were really stubborn on certain issues. The players did definitely compromise on the a lot of stuff last night. It seemed to be there was a huge problem with the 14-team playoff.
That was a big thing.
That's
yeah.
horrible.
And it is absolutely atrocious if they do that. Even 12 to me is ridiculous. Like, I just – it's too much. The reason why the Major League Baseball playoffs are awesome is because it is so exclusive. When you make everyone and their sister's going to get in now. I mean,
yeah. Meals by Cooj.
Yeah, I mean, I'm opening up a franchise in freaking Buffalo, a baseball franchise. I'm going to make the playoffs, apparently. That's preposterous. But you know why they want to do it, the owners? Because they're going to make more money. But it's not going to be a better product. I think my biggest issue, listen, the players need to fight for, the union needs to fight, and I agree with that. I just hate this narrative of the owners are these awful, greedy people.
Like, thank you. That's
kind of true, but I don't. I kind of think the players are a little greedy in their own right. And listen, they have a right to be. I think the players on the bottom is what we should be really talking about. I just the narrative, especially Jeff Passan. He can go shove it. I mean, he's a queen. I mean, just the players, they're being mistreated by the owners. Like, they're acting like the owners are not paying them. They're treating them like crap. I mean, give me a break. But I think the owners have a lot of culpability in this and need to do a better job. So if I'm putting a blame chart or a blame pie, I would say it's like 60 to 65 owners and 35, 40 players. That's how I would think of it. I don't think it's a crazy narrative to say that the players have done nothing wrong. I mean, that's just crazy. So that's all I have to say.
Yeah. And just something to add, I feel like Jeff Passan blows, to your point, like, I feel like he's good, but I feel like it blows a lot of smoke up his ass. Like, I mean, he is not, I think he puts himself in the same category as Woj, and he's not even near that.
Jeff Passan loves himself. Jeff Passan. Holy crap. Listen, and Bob Nightingale, let me tell you something. The redemption story of the year. That guy was going off last night. I was in bed asleep. It's 3 a.m. and this guy is tweeting like it's going out of style. I was like, good for Bobby. Because Bob Nightingale, for those of you who don't know, is just the most clowned upon.
Yeah. He is.
Everything he says goes the opposite.
If the world says it's the sky is blue, Bob Nightingale is like, it's yellow, and he's completely wrong. So I love that story because everyone was like rooting for him. He's like reporting. It ended up not working out, but overall what he was saying was he was giving us hope, and it kind of got ruined. But still, Bob Nightingale, legend. Yeah. Legend.
All right, Dom, I'll give you the floor. I know you're not too thrilled. Baseball is your sport. You know, I know football's done. You're really not big into basketball. And you were on the phone with me before we got on saying, oh, looks like I got to get into basketball again. Because you're looking forward to baseball this season. Because, you know, your Padres, you know, your team, you're in that window of contending championship, you know, World Series bound potentially. And, you know, it's like you don't want that to go to waste.
Yeah, like it's exciting despite a horrible season this past year. You know, with the collapse and everything, it's still exciting to see these young guys and Machado and everything. But excuse my language. I have a pretty vulgar opinion, I feel like, but I think the blame goes everywhere. This is fucking pathetic. I mean, I'm looking everywhere too. I forget the minor league player's name, but he responded to a tweet. And look, I agree that this isn't billionaires versus millionaires because not all major league players are millionaires. But, dude, you're making so much goddamn money. Give me a break. Like, come on. I agree. All right, maybe there should be a little increase when it comes to that main base salary, right? But it can't be in today's world where the players in a league get all say. Look at the NBA. I think it's gotten out of hand with Adam Silver, to be honest. But that's for another day to really get into that. I think the league is washed, done for. Major League Baseball, you can't just give everything to the players like these sports are doing. There's got to be certain guidelines and everything. Now, the owners and stuff, the Major League Baseball, they're wrong in many ways too when it comes down to it. But the Players Association, I feel like they're asking for a little too much. Like, dude, you're still making a lot of money. What else was there? I actually read up that Major League Baseball was thinking about banning the shift, which I think Joey Gallo would have heavily been in favor for.
I feel like a lot of teams, I feel like a lot of fans be in favor for that. Cause I feel like it's not just happening. Sorry to cut you off, but I think it's not just happening to people or to players, I just say, that are pull happy. I feel like it's just happening to like everybody in the sport. Like they're just shifting or like readjusting, which like I get, but I feel like there needs to be like kind of a limit. Cause I mean, like,
I'm with Anthony.
It's like, what? It's like, then what's the point of having a first base, second base position? Like, then there's no point in that anymore.
I'm not really a fan of the shift either.
Well, I'm not either. And I'm a Padres fan, and Machado's been playing in shallow right field. It's like, all right, he's made some plays, but a third baseman shouldn't be in shallow right field. I think that is totally stupid. I think if you ban the shift, that's wrong because I like the strategy, but it should be limited where infielders can't go past the dirt. you know, like behind into the grass.
Or you have like a limited number of like shifts you can make per game, like in a game.
Right. That's a good idea. But I also just think like you can't put a third baseman at second base. I don't think you can put a shortstop at second base. You can put him in between, like right at the base pad, like center field. But I feel like there should be limits to where you could put certain guys. So you're not just, if there's an extreme pull hitter, you're not all just going that way. But, you know, I was reading up on that. But back to the point, listen, both are wrong. Major League Baseball should have not waited till last second to start having these damn conversations and stuff and going back and forth. But the Players Association is also wrong. I do think they are just asking for a little too much. When it comes to it, you're still playing. Even the minor league player said this. I wish I got his name. But you're playing the game you love, and you're still making great money. Like, come on. You're making it to the majors. He said, I made $400 biweekly in the minors. You know, what the fuck is there to complain about? And then Anthony Rizzo, who I had respect for, comes out and says to the fans, we'll miss you the most. To the younger generation of baseball players, this is for you. That's complete and utter bullshit to me. You're ruining the game of baseball for the younger generations. And this is what I find cringy to where I was talking about with other people. This is going to be the whole thing. Whether we have baseball or not, it's going to be welcome back or we'll miss you guys. If you truly cared about the fucking fans, whether it's the league or the players, we would have been playing ball by now.
Agreed.
So this is bullshit. It's all about money.
Yeah. They, you know, that I think Dom's right about this. Like, it's like this very, like, holier than thou, like, we're trying, yeah. You guys, we're trying to make it a better game. Like, I think that there needs definitely to be changes, especially for the guys in the start of their career. But to act like they're fighting so hard, I mean, I don't think either side really is. I don't think either side is going to really give in. I will say, though, I kind of like that the players are doing this in a sense, because I feel like them holding out, like everyone who said, oh, well, they don't have any leverage. Well, this is when they have everyone on their side. This is when you need to get into the owner's head and say, we want baseball. Let's come together and make a compromise, an actual compromise, where both of us are trying to make an agreement. So
yeah, and it didn't help where I was like reading like the tweets and, you know, Chris, like you were texting me and screenshotting the tweets is that the two sides were not even in the same room like today until like mid-afternoon. Like they were both like in their own little like offices, like figuring out what tactic, like what do we want? Like, no, it's like, let's compromise. Cause at the end of the day, like it's a relationship, right? You get, like, there's gotta be some like, you gotta like compromise to some extent. Like obviously the owners, you're not going to get everything you want. And same thing with the players, to your guys' point, they're not going to get everything they want too, but they gotta meet somewhere like in the middle. Like it can't be like it's all going one way or all going the other way. Like it's gotta be in the middle. And then to your guys' point, I mean, look, they had like 4 months to figure this out and you wait till the last second to start ramping up conversations. Like what the hell were you doing for the last 3 months? Well, flicking your asses?
Well, here's what I have to say about that. I put a lot of the blame for the reason that not all of the blame, but some of the blame has to be attributed here to the league's commissioner, you know, Rob Manfred. When it comes to this at the end of the day, like part of it's his fault, because when you go back 5 years to the MLB's last CBA, like everything I've read, like they got beat really bad. And like in the process of getting beat bad, like over the last 5 years, like the MLB has become more profitable than it was when they made that agreement. And like the owners are profiting like significantly more on the players than the players are making at the end of the day. So that's like the major issue that the players have. Like it's just they got beat so bad on the last one that they're just trying really hard not to get screwed on this one. And that's where it comes in with Manfred, because like I know Manfred's job and like the league's job is to placate the owners, but at the end of the day, like you got to look out for the best interest of the sport, and letting the players get screwed like that 5 years ago and just like as the commissioner of the league and not doing anything to rectify that or see that that's coming, like what does that say about him as a commissioner? Like,
well, I mean, this doesn't, this, I mean, this makes this, I mean, this makes, yeah, to your point. Yeah. Look, it makes him look worse. And, you know, you're right. You know, 5 years ago, that deal was done. You know, I think, you know, as the union was looking at it, they're probably like, all right, well, we have to fix this. And to your point, that's what they wanted to do. And the owners were going to do that. And Manfred, to your point, I think should be the middleman. And I feel like he was probably siding with the owners, or just wasn't doing anything at all. Because let's be realistic, Manfred's been a terrible commissioner over his tenure so far. I mean, but I will say, Bud Selig was not great in his own way either. Even though there was never a lockout under his reign as commissioner of baseball, there was some bad shit going on in the league when he was commissioner for, you know, the 20 plus years he was, he was at the helm. So, I mean, we haven't had a great commissioner in a while. You know, it's not like the NBA. I know, Dom, you have a thing with Adam Silver, but, you know, for the most part, he's done a pretty good job. Roger Goodell, he's had his moments, but for the most part, you know, he's solid. And then
I actually have a question for you guys after you finish up. Sorry.
No, you're good. And then I don't know the NHL commissioner, but I mean, yeah, sports. Yeah, I mean, they seem to be doing fine too. So
to me, I mean, like, before Dom asked the question, like, I think most commissioners are just going to be pretty negatively received. I would say Adam Silver, though, has the best reception. I know there's issues, and I actually agree with Dom. There's some issues that I didn't like to be handled, but he's probably the best or most well received. And I just wanted to also say, before we move on to Dom's question, can I just say, like, and I saw this on Twitter and I saw tweets about it, and I agree. Did you see when the players in the PA and the MLB were meeting? They were meeting at like 1 p.m. and stuff. Wake up at 9 in the morning, get going. Like, why are we like, it was like they can't wake up and start negotiating early. Did you see how late they were getting? And then it's like, oh, well, it's 6 o'clock. I guess we need to leave and wait for the next day. Like, they just let it go to the last second to try to make it look like we're trying for our fans. Both sides suck. And the other thing is, did you guys see the money that they were doing for what was the part about the $220 million that it would stay the same for 2 years and then
that's the CBT.
Yeah, like it was the luxury tax.
Okay, this is the one place I definitely think the owners really sucked. You can't give it was like $220 million for 2 years in a row, and then it only
three years
in a row, and then it only increased by like what, $2 million, $4 million,
Chris? It increases by four. So for the first 3 years, in the MLB's quote unquote best offer, it remains $220 million for 3 years. Increases by $4 million in the fourth year, and then increases by $6 million in the final year. And I'll also add that that's not that's an unchanged from the previous CBA. It's the same. It's asking them to do the same, to commit to the same tax threshold as the previous CBA. And this is all per Jeff Passan.
And Chris, like you said, it is true what you said. The owners are making good money. Like, they're profiting very heavily. So this is the part where I go, the owners are really trying to be greedy and just, oh, it's just awful. It's just, I'm a little more up in the air about, I feel like the players have just gotten an easy ride and it feels like they've done nothing wrong, apparently, according to the media. So, Dom, obviously you can ask your question.
No, I'm totally with you on that. And I've been reading that the media has tried to make the players look bad, and which I agree with. When it comes to money too, man, people are going to dispute and argue over this. These guys are rich, both the players and the owners, of course. Now, we have Bob Nightingale tweeting this, so it's going to be the opposite of what I say, okay? The canceled games will be made up and the players will be paid. So take that translation and Bob Nightingale it. So the cancel games will not be made up, and the players will also not be paid.
Yeah. Wait, was that tweeted recently?
4 hours ago, yeah. So no made-up games, no payment to the players during this as well. How long I personally still think we're not going to have a season. I kind of don't want one. I don't want a shortened year. I'd rather have nothing.
There's going to be no.
How long do you think this will last until players start saying, you know what? We, in my opinion, I don't think they can do much more, and they're going to have to be forced to agree to the CBA and then come in because they're not making money. And that's what's the most important thing in this.
Yeah, if they cancel the season, the league's corrupt. Like this, it cannot happen. This is the one league that you cannot cancel the season.
You're muffled.
You're a little.
Sorry, that was my bad. Like you just can't. You can't cancel the season. Like for any league, whether if we're getting all four leagues, hockey, baseball, basketball, football, of all those four, if baseball gets canceled, the league's ruined. It's genuinely ruined. Ratings are going to go down to the toilet. Everyone's going to be pissed off. Like it's going to look really, really bad. It's going to put them even back in popularity, you know, in the sports world. It just can't happen. My guess is I think we get delayed until mid-May. And honestly, I think we start, my guess, looking at how this goes and, you know, with free agency, spring training, let's say, I think we start Memorial Day weekend.
Ooh. See, I was thinking mid-May and then like June, early June, mid-June. Okay, but it, you know,
I'd say I think it was, what was it, the day before yesterday, the owners said they would be willing to. They closed the meeting by threatening to that they're willing to miss a month of games. That's how far they're willing to go. I guess like at the I don't know if that's like a minimum or a maximum or what, but they said they're good with a month of games not being played. So, you know, my thing is that the Players Association, after the negotiations today, came out and said that they're ready to talk again on like as soon as Thursday.
Good.
So, here's my question. Is the league gonna sit down on Thursday and start talking with these guys again, or are they gonna do this bullshit where they go and say nothing for a month and then try again when they want a season? Because everybody knows, like across baseball, like when the league negotiated with COVID and like getting the COVID season underway, that was a nightmare, and the league pretty much had a ballpark of 60 games. They saw they were going to have the expanded playoffs, and they were like, we can still make our money that like just on that, and we'll be good for the year, and it's no problem. So that's something you have to think about too. That's the way the owners look at the game, and like that's the problem.
Yeah, you know, I
hate to say it, but I got to be honest. I'm probably more pro players than I am towards the owners. I put a pretty decent amount of the blame on the owners and the MLB as an overall organization, because at the end of the day, like they're kind of screwing the players. Like just in my, at least in my opinion, in the way I view it, like they're just kind of screwing the players.
I think Chris's point is fair. I don't think you can come out of this. And not, like the way the owners look right now, I it's all perception, and I do again. I agree, it's definitely overblown because of the media. But I mean, they have done a lot of crap wrong, and they need to be called out for it. The thing is, Chris, about your question about will the owners sit down? Don't you guys like? I thought, you know, the owners are going to see how bad they're coming off. And they're going to say, we can't afford to keep alienating our fans. And they don't seem to care. And that to me is insane, that it's like you're not going to come to the table. Like you're not going to try to make it work. Because and I'm not saying on each issue. I feel like the players came back on things. I mean, the 14-game playoff or 14-team playoff is absolutely atrocious. I think the 12th team is not good either, but I'll live with it. But I'm glad that the players weren't going to let go of that. And, but we'll see. I don't know. I can see Chris's point, and I just didn't, I just wanted to point out the media, how they were handling it, specifically Jeff Passan, who I think is just, again, he loves himself, Jeff Passan.
I mean, yeah, I agree. Like, Jeff Passan at times is a little, he's a little arrogant, but in this respect, I, you know, I tend to agree with a lot of the things he said, and I was kind of glad he did say something, because, like, he does have a big platform. People in baseball do listen to what he has to say. So, in that respect, you know, I do agree. He's an arrogant guy, and don't get me wrong, but
yeah, no,
he comes across as arrogant. Like, just the way he talks, and it's just his persona on camera.
I get it, but in this respect, in regards to the CBA agreement, I tend to side with him, just because, like, what the players are fighting for is also, they are fighting for the future of the game, in the sense that, like Max Scherzer isn't fighting for himself to make more money. He already secured the highest AAV before this even all started. He's trying to help out players at the bottom. Like, look at the issues. One of the things they're fighting for, minimum player salary wages. Mm-hmm. Like, that's for guys that are just starting out. Arbitration, yeah, manipulation of service time. Look at what happened to Chris Bryant, dude. That was so wrong.
Yeah, Don, you remember that, where they held him out for 14 Js just so the Cubs get an extra year of control?
Right. Now, that's bad. But, like, the salary piece, I personally don't get that. I think whether it's, what was it,
It was, like, 470, 500K.
Yeah. If you can go up a little bit, great. But it's still a lot of money. I think it should be more focused on the minor leagues than it should be for these younger kids coming up. But, yeah, no, I get it. The arbitration and stuff, you know, it can be messed up. Chris Bryant, basically, ooh, that was ugly. It's just, it is weird. The owners have gotten away with a lot. I just wish we had a commissioner that actually cared about the game rather than how much he's got in his pockets, you know? And it's just a shame. He has no hesitation to do this, saying that, hey, we're not going to make up games and stuff. We're not going to pay you, which, I mean, I get that, but it sucks. And to top it all off, you know, with the news, he comes up live to talk about it, and he's laughing at first before he breaks the news to everyone.
He comes on MLB Network or ESPN or wherever, and it's like, I really didn't want to make this speech. I'm like, dude, you knew you were fucking making this speech since this morning.
What? Like, what? You can't, don't play dumb. Yeah. You don't want it. Like, you did it. What,
like,
you were a stakeholder and you screwed it up just like everybody else. I mean, give me a break.
Like, I don't know. Both sides at the end of the day are stubborn. And I know for a long time that the Players Association is really, like, super strong-headed. Like, they've been, like, that association has been very, very, you know, cutthroat for decades. Like, to Don's point, you know, I will agree with you on this. They do care a lot about their money and, like, you know, what's best for the players and getting themselves the maximum money as possible. Cause I do remember, you know, when A-Rod was getting traded in 03, 04 offseason, he was going to go to Boston. But the thing was, the contingency with Boston at the time was that they had to reconstruct the contract. And the association was like, no, you can't do that or else you're going to make us look bad. And then they're going to think, oh, well, then we can get less money from these players. And then in return, Boston never got A-Rod. He then goes to New York. And then that was history. So that association has been like that for a long time. So I do see how they are very, in ways, like, money hungry. But I do get it in terms of Chris's point, where it's like you're fighting for the younger guys in terms of, you know, making sure that they're okay. But, you know, 500,000, 720,000, I mean, that's a good living that, I mean, most Americans, you know, don't even make in a year.
Well, here's the thing about that, though. You have to remember that's before taxes, and that's before, like I've listened to some other podcasts, like Talking Baseball and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Those guys have to pay things like clubhouse fees and stuff like that. So at the end of the day, it's really not like 700,000. It ends up being less than that. And, like, the thing is, like, it's not sustained. Like, these guys are only, what, like, some of them are, like, 20 years old, 21 years old. They're, like, our age, like, 18, 19, like, in the minor leagues coming up, like, you know. They're all under 25 is my point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Success in the MLB is really hard to sustain. So, let's say that player's only around for 1 or 2 years, like that's it, and then he has to go find something else to do. They're trying to set these players up for the long term if they don't make it in baseball.
Yeah, but what was the argument about it going from 675 to 720?
Yeah.
They're pretty. So in terms of the minimum salary wage, they're close. They're close on that.
Yeah, so that's not a big issue. I feel like if you compromise, say, 700,000, I feel like the players would live with that, right? Like 700,000 is, you're right. It's not exactly 700,000, but it is a pretty solid number that they would probably live with.
Yeah, it's like hang on. So the players wanted 725K minimum with an increase of 20K each year for 5 years, and the league offered 700K with an increase of 10K per year for 5 years. So that's obviously really close.
I think if you're the players, you go deal. But the problem is there are other issues where the owners are not being as.
Yeah, it's the arbitration money.
Because
I think what their issue is recently, right? We've seen guys like Mookie Betts, for example, who are getting astronomical, who was getting crazy numbers in arbitration. Like he was making $24 million a year. It was record breaking numbers he was making in his arbitration years. And there was one other guy too that was making crazy money too. I don't know if it was Chris Bryant. Or it was some other big name star. I don't remember, but or maybe it was it was definitely not Trout. It was somebody else, but they were making ridiculous numbers. I think that's what the owners were looking at. It's like, you know, that we can't have that because it's like, which I'm like, I don't know how I feel about this.
I don't exactly know like how arbitration works, but I do know that the pool they're fighting for is split between every team across the league. That's the way the arbitration bonus pool works. So the league's offering $30 million as the bonus pool. So that'd be $30 million split between the 30 teams.
That's a million.
As an arbitration pool. Like for each team. I don't really know everything about like arbitration and how it works. But I know they're far apart because the MLBPA wants $85 million with $5 million annual increases.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah, and arbitration.
Both sides are at fault.
Yeah, and arbitration. It's like you know, Chris, in basketball terms, it's like an NBA is a it's like an NBA player is a restricted free agent, and the player will go in saying, I want my salary to be $15 million a year, and here's why, right? They got to provide like examples, right? And then the club will say, well, we think he's worth $12 million, or they'll agree or they'll disagree. If they disagree, there's a mediator in the middle who is the deciding factor, is like the third party, and kind of deciphers between the two sides, and then agree, and then either sides with one or the other, and then they can come to an agreement. So that's how arbitration works, is both sides have a number in mind, they present it. If they can't come up to an agreement like that, it goes to the middleman and then they decide.
That's how
I'm assuming the pool of money then that they're negotiating for would go to the teams as a way for them to offset the cost of the arbitration. Is that like what the pool of money's for then?
I don't even know now that you say that, because if you say it's getting split between the teams, I'm just thinking, is it added money? That's getting added to whatever amount they're given, because when you said $30 million, it's split between all three teams. It's like $1 million. I'm like,
oh yeah, it is a pre-arb. Yeah, Jeff Passan has it labeled as a pre-arb bonus pool. So yeah, I'm assuming it's some kind of bonus money for those arbitration players. I'm not entirely sure on that. on that concept. I understand, obviously, the minimum salary, and I understand what the whole CBT threshold thing, but I'm not entirely sure what the bonus pool entails. But like I said, they're far apart on it regardless, which I do understand.
All these concepts are really, like, over my head, too. Like, what was I going to say? Oh, I forgot.
There is one other thing we do have to talk about before we do end the show.
Yeah.
And I think all you know what I'm talking about. And this kind of shadowed kind of the CBA agreements yesterday or on Monday. Derek Jeter steps down as CEO of the Miami Marlins. He was part of that big ownership group in 2017. He gave up his 4% share in stakeholdership of the team. And in his report or his PR post saying why he left, he said, you know, there was a different vision now that when I signed up for 5 years ago, and he just couldn't move past it. And, you know, I think that, first of all, this is just a bad day for baseball. Derek Jeter is not in the game anymore. And, you know, Derek Jeter is, you know, he's a god in my eyes and many other people's eyes in this game. And, you know, you just, and it comes at a weird time of I think his DNA is all about winning. And I think the team wasn't winning, and they weren't going in a direction that I think he wanted to. And I think he had to step away from it because it just wasn't who he was. And I feel like he didn't really have maybe much share control, even though he was basically the face of the Marlins, right? It wasn't a play. Maybe you could say Chaz Grisham to a certain extent, but in reality, when you thought of the Marlins, you thought of not the players, you thought of Jeter. And now that he's gone, it just makes it that much worse to have that happen, along with baseball already being canceled in back-to-back days. Is just really a not good look for the sport. And even though there were rumors saying Jeter can come to, you know, ESPN, because apparently ESPN is already like thinking about, you know, snagging him, even though I do not think he's going to do television. I would be shocked if Jeter does television. And if he does, I will watch any time he is on. I will work my schedule around to make sure I watch this man on TV every night. I will be like, no, would be like, I can't talk. I'm watching Derek Jeter.
You won't blink, Anthony.
Yeah, I won't blink. Like if I'm with my girlfriend and she's like, can we do this? No. Derek Jeter's on.
That's it.
So
moving to the TV.
But yeah, but I mean, I don't know. I mean, Chris, what are your thoughts on this whole, not only obviously we had this, but now, you know, Jeter is, I mean, he's out, you know?
So from what I read, Jeter basically essentially left the Marlins. I guess for anybody that doesn't know out there, that they didn't want to give him, I guess they committed to spend more money after the CBA was agreed to in free agency to help finish supplementing the roster. I know, like, one theory was from John Boy Media or whatever in their podcast, Talking Baseball, they thought that might be for Castellanos, who was still a free agent and is from Miami, and a guy that they thought Jeter might go after to try to maybe help them get over that hump of hitting they need. So regardless, they promised him that money. He was obviously going to do something with it. Then all of a sudden they kind of pulled the rug out. We're like, yeah, we're not doing the spending anymore. Like that's not in our plans. I guess like his partner or whoever he worked is involved with there at the organization just like pulled the plug on that plan. So then Jeter was like, all right, well, if you guys aren't competing to win a championship, then I'm out. Like, what am I doing here? Because you know Derek Jeter, like that man wins. Like he's trying to win. And obviously the Marlins, I don't know, they have a different view, I guess. But Derek Jeter did the ultimate Derek Jeter move and kind of left. I respect him for it. It'll be interesting to see what he does next. For anybody who's a Yankees fan and thinks Derek Jeter is coming back to the Yankees, there's no way that's happening as long as Brian Cashman is the GM of the Yankees.
Yeah.
Those two do not like each other at all. There's no way Derek Jeter will be affiliated with the Yankees in any way as long as Brian Cashman is in that front office. So I don't really know what Derek Jeter's next move is going to be, but I don't think it's going to be with the Yankees. Maybe if a broadcasting booth throws enough money at him, it'll happen. We'll see. I know the Players Association was kind of like happy to see Jeter step away. It's kind of like a big deal for them in the lockout, I guess. Yeah, it's pretty much as far as my thoughts go on.
I mean, I do know, and I did read this obviously before. Obviously, the CBA kind of took over the baseball news. Is that NBC Sports was looking to broadcast baseball, and they were looking in north of buying rights to games of north of $100-150 million, and that would be good for not only the sport but also NBC itself, because NBC Sports has really taken a nosedive outside of football season, and they haven't had the rights to, I want to say, Major League Baseball games since I would say like the early 2000s. Like, it's been a long time since NBC's had the rights to a baseball game. In the last World Series that was done by NBC was in 1997, Marlins Indians, and ever since then it's just ruled by Fox. So I mean, it would be great for them. And maybe in that case, you know, one of the big things that you get to grab people to watch your games on NBC was you signed Derek Jeter to a lucrative contract, which they could easily do. So, who would
do the games though? Like, you're saying, okay, a possibility Jeter does them. I don't think that'll happen.
I don't think it'll happen. I mean, it's just,
just a hypothetical, but like, who would announce the games? Who would be the play-by-play?
I don't know. That's the thing. Like, this is all just like up in the air. I just saw this report like a couple days ago saying that they were looking at possibly doing it, which is great for it's great for the network because they need something like this.
Yeah, and also, you know, you got to think about it. And I know hockey's not the biggest revenue generator, but that they just did lose the rights to hockey. Obviously, ABC and ESPN and Disney got the rights to hockey, but the thing is, like, you know what that means, guys. If NBC does somehow get the rights to baseball, Joe Buck, no more. All right. So,
I don't know. Well, that's the thing. I don't know if it's like. I think we're still going to see Joe Buck, because I think it's going to be like what it is with football, where like it's like
it'll be split television rights.
Split television rights, because I don't think Fox's deal's done.
No way.
I thought we had Joe Buck gone. I mean, because it's not even like I hate Joe Buck that much. Like, I used to really dislike him, but it's just I think, Anthony, you said this once, and I really liked what you said. You were like, it's just. We see him so much. He does everything. He does.
Yeah.
He's
Michael and Chris Collins were too.
Yeah. He's monopolizing like the biggest games for Fox.
Yeah.
Like, any big game that is happening on Fox, he's calling those games. Like, if it's the Super Bowl, he's calling them. Biggest NFL game during the rest of the season, he's got them. World Series games, he's got them. And he gets all those games. It's like, don't you think that you should probably like get some new guys in, or like change it up a little bit? Like who?
Like us.
Yeah. Let me take Joe. Yeah,
I'll take Joe. I kind of like I don't know. Joe Buck, like, I gained a little bit more respect for Joe Buck after I listened to that interview he did with R2C2 on their podcast.
I do need to listen to that.
I thought that was a really good podcast, and it really, I don't know, it kind of like humanizes Joe Buck like a lot more, and he's really open in that podcast, and like, I don't know, I kind of like Joe Buck now. Like, I don't really have like I used to kind of not like him, and I agree, he definitely does too much with you, to your guys' point, with doing every big game for Fox in terms of football and baseball. But I mean, he's a good commentator at the end of the day. He knows what he's talking about. He does a good job of splitting the middle as the national guy, which isn't easy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I don't know. Joe Boy, but I think it'll be good, because now they'll have the split rights, so he won't be doing every game. You'll get an alternative. ESPN's shaking it up, and they've got new people coming in the booth. So, I don't know, if we do get baseball, It'll be all right. You know, I know. Yes, Booth's got some new guys in the booth. Cameron Maven.
Maven, yeah, he seems. I watched that. I listened to his interview on R2C2.
You're mumbling a little.
Oh my bad. I was listening to Cameron Maven's interview on R2C2, and they were like in awe of his audition. Like they were like this guy's got it. So I'm looking forward to hearing him in the booth whenever we have baseball with Ryan Rucco or Michael Kay and Paul O'Neill. Like I think he's gonna be really good for us.
Yep.
So
I totally agree. You know, I think it's good that they shook it up. It's interesting how ESPN's kind of supplementing. It's filling that void with Mad Fastgersian. It's going to be interesting to see how they. Yeah, I know they got David Cohn, but he's only doing like select amount of games.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, they selected Carl Ravitch, who he's a big baseball guy. Like he's going to do fine. I like him in the booth. He knows the guy he was talking about. But what's up?
Oh, yeah, Chris, I'm going to agree with you. As I've gotten older and stuff, I've actually liked Joe Buck. He's actually had a couple of good, reads and stuff. Also, the podcast. I've heard some of his books that you can also listen to. He does great, and the way he prepares for games and everything, I actually have mad respect for it. I think he's underrated with baseball because I like whenever there's a walk-off home run, right? He stays quiet. He lets the whole entire crowd really bring it in. And another hot take, it's because Anthony just brought it up. I've actually grown away from Matt Vasgersian as he's become more and more of a commentator.
Are you sick of him and MLB The Show? Is that why?
Actually, no.
No?
I love his calls, trust me. But I do think he lacks in – he tries too hard. You could tell the way – it's like me when I'm speaking. He tries too hard to really get the right words and stuff. And I just think Matt Vasgersian has lost his luster. But Joe Buck, he just does the game. And I can't stand Al Michaels, Chris Collinsworth, and that's football. But, yeah, we need some new guys.
Yeah, I mean, well, those guys are done. You know that, right? Al Michaels is probably leaving.
I got
That's the rumor. His contract was up. He might leave.
No offense. I mean to say this in the nicest way. He ain't leaving until he's, you know, leaving. I think he's.
Can I say something? I'm sorry, but it is getting way too positive about Joe Buck. I have to. Like, I'm not saying he's bad. Okay, I do think there's some great calls in his career, but oh my God, he hates New York teams. He hates.
I don't know.
Hates when he calls Yankees game, Anthony, you don't. Come on, you gotta agree with that. He can't stand the Yankees. He hates them. He's terrible. I hate him. Listen,
I don't know. Like he's even come on the record and saying like he's splitting them like he's splitting
them.
That's
the thing. You gotta listen to the podcast because he brings up like a. He brings up a story like that involves like the Yankees and his father and everything. Like, trust me, like Joe Buck does not hate the Yankees.
Listen to me. If I came to you and told you that I hate ice cream, would you believe me?
Obviously not.
So not even close. Yes, he is. I'm sorry, but I have to disagree. Whatever he says, he stinks. I don't like him. I think he hates the Yankees. He doesn't stink. I'm sorry. Let me rephrase that. I just think sometimes it's and I'm not talking about just the Yankees. I feel like sometimes he is negative against New York as a whole, especially when I watch football. So I can't be – we can't be too positive. And, Dom, I have to disagree with you too. I actually think Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth are better than – Yeah, I gotta disagree. I think sometimes Joe Buck stinks.
Really?
That's just me.
Well, I hate Troy Aikman. Troy Aikman sucks the Cowboys off like
he's a home run.
Agreed. Right. But I think I agree with you, Anthony. But I actually think Troy Aikman, like maybe is the most knowledgeable of like he's like he knows what he's talking about. Like there's no
right.
He is.
We don't need more A-Rod. That's all I gotta say. We don't need more A-Rod on ESPN.
My issue with Collinsworth and Michaels.
We're Yankee fans, and we're not happy about this Sunday cast.
Poor A-Rod, he's really gotten old.
You know what's funny? I remember when A-Rod and the whole Tatis looking at the sign and he hit the home run and he's like, it was against the Dodgers early in the season, you know, when we actually had a season. And he's like, if you think you're going to get away with cheating looking at signs, yeah, you should talk, buddy, with the, you know, what you put in your body.
Yeah. Break,
please. A-Rod telling Tatis what to do. Oh, please.
Dude, A-Rod and his, like, 09 Yankee references.
Yeah,
I know you love him, AC.
That's what we were saying. That's what we were talking about, dude. He loves referencing that team. I'm like, dude, like, all right, yeah, like, you won with that when you had a – and you kind of rectified your postseason career with that run. But, like, dude, you're the only one that really talks about that team, like, that as much as you do. I know probably the second person who talks about that team in the most is CeCe. But he doesn't even talk about it that much, only when other people bring it up, you know?
Yeah, so no more A-Rod. Glad to see they're shaking it up, though.
Yeah.
Wait, who's paired with A-Rod, though, on that
Michael
Sunday cast?
Michael K.
Dude, that's atrocious. I feel bad for the people to – maybe we shouldn't have a season. Or at least no Sunday games. At least no Sunday games.
Chris, you don't like Michael
K. An absolute blast from an absolute
player.
All right.
Here's my thing. I don't mind Michael K., When he's like with somebody else, he's bearable. And when he's commentating Yankees games, but dude, I can't imagine him doing national games on Sunday and with A-Rod. Like, it's one thing when he's with Paul O'Neill, who's like a good color commentator and like not a jerk off like A-Rod is, but like he's gonna be with A-Rod, dude. I feel so bad for people. Like that. It's just gonna be atrocious. And oh man, like the thing is, so Michael K too. Michael K, like whoever he's commentating with, loves to just like kiss ass with whoever he's color commentating with. All I do all season is listen to for the past couple of seasons. It's just listen to this man, kiss Paul O'Neill's ass. Kone, like, he mainly does it with Paul O'Neill, but, like, I can only imagine what he's going to do with A-Rod. That is just, like, oh, man. I hope that duo only lasts a year for people who are going to be tuning into games on Sunday, because, like, I don't know. Like, my dad tells me all the time he's tired of listening to Michael K.
Yeah, like, I mean, and mind you, A-Rod and Michael K used to hate each other. They did not like each other. Like, I think Michael K said something bad to him, or they got into a rift for a while, and now they made up. So I don't know if like if they're okay or if there's still some bad. I mean, we'll see if there's a season. But when I saw that report came out that those two are doing, I'm like, damn, that's an interesting duo.
It's just like, what do you think about that, Noah? Because you asked me if I like Michael K or not. So like, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I actually think the points you made were pretty good. I think maybe it's because I'm used to him. I've been listening to him for 15, 16 years. Like, as long as I've been watching baseball since like 2005, 2006, and mostly getting into him in, you know, 2010, 2009, 2010. I like him, but I think he's kind of acquired taste. Sometimes I do agree, though. It's a little too, like, yeah, like, yeah, I don't want to say a bad word. Can somebody say?
He's a kiss ass. He kisses up. Whoever's, like, color commentating with him, he's just, like, he just, like, sucks up to them and, like kisses their feet, I guess would be a better expression.
And you know what? You know how I said Jeff Passan loves himself since Jeff Passan? I think the same can be said about Michael Kay. Less on during games and more during his radio show. If you guys ever,
dude, my he's god, completely he's different person on his radio show.
I can't listen to that.
Yankees baseball, and he's like, I'm with the great, and then on ESPN or on his show, he is. I mean, he's like as opinionated as ever. And
Michael Kay is a completely different guy outside of the booth. Completely different.
Not opinionated at all in the booth, which I obviously like. But you're right. He's completely different. I think, Chris, what you said is right. And I don't think the Sunday Night Baseball thing will work. You know what the problem with A-Rod is? And I know the show's going longer than we expected. So
yeah, we've kind of got to wrap it up.
I'll be wrapping it up. I don't know about you guys, but I actually like A-Rod. I think he's kind of gotten back into people's good graces and mine. But he's a little robotic. I mean, looks a little bit A-Rod. Like, and the things he says, I feel like he's got a good voice and he explains things, I think, good enough, but he's just a little robotronic. He's loosen up, like oil it up, bro. Oil it.
Yeah, you could tell he's a little stiff, like a potato chip at the bottom of the bag, you know? Yeah. It's like sometimes he'll say what he's got to say, like, oh, great swing, hands in. It's like, yeah, but, you know, why not put a little bit of your own personality in there? Like, don't be afraid to say, oh, man, what a swing. Matt Van Scherzen does it all the time.
Also, listen to how he says his R's. He, he's got something that if he just tapped into it a little more, I think he would be solid. It just, some of the things he says, it's like, stop, like, shut up.
Oh, my God. Yeah,
Jennifer Lopez.
That's no longer fiance.
Now look who she's with.
And with Ben Affleck, we'll see how long that lasts. But anything else you guys want to add real quick before we say our farewells?
Yeah, quick. I just want to say, great show, Chris. Always, I gotta say, like, one of the best guests. I mean, clearly, like. Adds a different perspective, and I think this might have been the show where we had the most disagreements. Respectfully, though,
definitely respectful.
Seriously, I mean, like, me and Dom maybe disagreed with Chris on the player, not totally though. I think we were all kind of like different spots, and then I disagreed with all of you about Joe Buck. that's okay. We all have different opinions, and that's what's great about the show. So Chris, thank you for coming on and, welcome as always. So.
Well, yeah, I just want to say thank you guys for having me. I was glad I was able to text AC kind of last minute and like make this happen and get on here tonight, especially given what happened today, I definitely needed a rant, and I'll kind of end off by saying, as my final note, I really hope we get base, I know Dom said he'd rather not have a season, but I'd still like to watch some games this year. It'd be nice to have something. It's always nice having something between the start of a new football season and the end of basketball. And baseball's something I've kind of grown to love over the last few years and something I've really taken an interest to. So I really hope we get games this year. Mm-hmm. I hope they figure it out sooner rather than later. We'll see.
Yeah, I just can't do another 60 game or some shit like that.
I'm hoping it's over 100 games. I'm easily hoping it's over 100 games.
If it's like 120 or more, fine by me. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. And I think I think that's the goal. I think at this point is to just have over 100 games. Like, anything under that, I think they're going to probably just can the season to some extent. But we'll see. We got this. It's going to be a developing story for, unfortunately, the next couple of weeks, hopefully no longer than that. And if and when they agree on a new deal, obviously it will be the topic that we talk about on the show. But, Chris, as always, it was a last minute appearance, and you kind of filled in for Sean at kind of the perfect timing as he can come on. So you kind of slipped right in. And this is kind of, honestly, this probably had to be the best show that we had with you, in my opinion.
It was great. I had a lot of fun with you guys tonight, for sure.
Yeah, no, aww. Yeah, and we did as well. So we thank you, and as you text me and you want to come on,
I'm hoping the next time I'm on here is when we're talking about the CBA agreement and how we're giddy for a new baseball season.
Yeah,
and I want to be talking about what's wrong with the Yankees and that type of stuff.
Not what's right, but what's wrong.
Yeah, I want to be frustrated with the Yankees, not the fact that the Yankees aren't playing. So let's get it together here, hopefully.
Yeah. But that's going to do it for us for this edition of the Sports Fever. As always, we thank you for tuning in and listening. You can catch us on our socials, the_sports_fever on Instagram, the_sportsfever1 on Twitter, and you can shoot us an email at thesportsfever@gmail.com. That's going to do it for us. Be sure to tune in next week, Thursday at noon, for a brand new episode.
Thank you for listening to this edition of The Sports Fever. Be sure to subscribe to our channel and be on the lookout for new episodes on every podcasting platform that you can think of.